Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
He is Eric Hasseltine. He is the play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies on the radio. He used to do this for a living, and then he wised up. Eric, good to have you with us.
Wised up is I wouldn't say it's that term. My kids were growing up, and they needed a little more dad time. So, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And we appreciate you being with us. J.B. Bickerstaff had a chance in Houston, took over from McHale as interim head coach. A lot of games, and they were over 500. They ended up not keeping him and hiring Mike D'Antoni, guy who'd been around and done a great job. Then he goes to Memphis as an assistant, takes over for Fizdale, gets the job the next year. What can we be looking for out of a J.B. Bickerstaff coaching philosophy, Eric? You know it much better than we do.
He expects you to be tough-nosed and leave it out there. I mean, he preaches a lot about the effort level being as high as it can get. It was a tough situation in Memphis. You know, first off, he was caught in the middle of a really difficult time at the end of Coach Fizdale's tenure. There was no, you know, secret that there were some rufflings in the locker room. And, you know, even Coach Fizdale talked about when he got hired in New York, I probably came in, as he said, guns blazing, which, you know, maybe isn't the most politically correct term to use in our society today, but came in and wanted to make some sweeping changes. And, you know, it was a team that had made the playoffs at that time six straight years. And so there was a little pushback saying, hey, you know, we're not Miami and you don't have LeBron here. We have an identity and that's what we firmly believe in. I think JB embraced that, but, you know, Coach Fizdale is one of his best friends. So when he got fired, you're in the position of having to take over a great opportunity for him, but a tough situation. Players loved him. I know Mike Conley and I talked multiple times about the way that they got along. And then he was just in a tough spot. The Grizzlies, his second year started 12-7. The night after Thanksgiving, they lost a game in Los Angeles that they seemingly had won, would have made them 13-7 with the best record in the Western Conference at that time, and very early in the season, obviously. But after that, seemingly things just kind of didn't connect, and not through JB's fault. They dropped leads in second halves and fourth quarters. Marc Gasol was unhappy. They were figuring out how to play alongside one another. You make a couple of trades, and all of a sudden it's rebuild mode. And I think it was a tough spot for him to be in because the front office at that time was really in a state of flux. They didn't know whether they wanted to push forward and keep trying to make deals to hang on to being that playoff team or whether it was time to break it down and build it back up. The truth was it was time to break it down. They'd probably waited too long. And then in the offseason, when ownership made sweeping changes in the front office, you kind of have to let your new front office, you know, pick their coach, which they did. And that was a tough spot for JB to be in. He handled it like a pro. I think he's got a roster there that he'll love working with those two young guards, with Garland and Sexton. And, you know, I think he's a guy that those players trust. And I'm not going to lie to you guys and tell you I understood the hiring of John Beilein. I just didn't see that as an NBA hire. I think John Beilein's a hell of a basketball coach. I was always marveled by how disciplined and how well-coached his Michigan teams were. But I felt like, you know, having been in this league now for almost two decades, I didn't quite get that. I don't blame the man for wanting to give the NBA a shot at all. I just think there's certain styles you can see that say, okay, this is going to work in today's NBA. This may not. And when you think about those Michigan teams, they weren't loaded with five-star recruits, guys that all their lives have been told they're going to be pros. John Beilein helped make them what they were, which is incredible. But there's a different attitude about it, and it's a player's league. And I think JV understands that. I think, obviously, this year for the Cavs, it's about pushing towards the future, getting guys minutes. I also, you know, I left out Kevin Porter. I love the way that young man plays. And so I think there's some nice pieces there. I think if they are willing to make the commitment and say, this is your team for at least two to three, at least two, if not 3 years, and we're going to ride with you, then I think some good things can happen. He did a heck of a job in Houston. He just kind of saw the writing on the wall and knew that they were more interested in Mike D'Antoni, so he decided to move on. And Memphis, it was just unfortunate for him there.
All right, so he's got about 28 games left, about a third of the season. Does he just play it out the way Beilein would have, or can he install something that with his own stamp on it?
I think it's, you know, the good thing is he's had a few days, obviously, with the break and some time to implement some things. I think you have to implement your stamp now. I think the more guys like Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Kevin Porter, you know, I don't know, Jetty Osman, who's a terrific, you know, all-around player, the more they understand what's going to be expected of them come opening of training camp, the better. I liken it to, and it was a little earlier in the season, actually a lot earlier in the season, my second year in Memphis when Sidney Lowe was relieved of his duties and Hubie Brown took over. That first kind of partial season with Hubie Brown was all about then young guys, now guys that are retired, which tells you how long I've been doing this, Pau Gasol and Shane Battier and Mike Miller at the time, learning how to play in Hubie's system. And it worked because the next year they went on to really kind of click and figure it out and made their first ever playoff appearance. Look, man, you guys look at the standings. The door is open in the Eastern Conference. I'm not trying to bag on it, but, you know, you can be a team that can figure some things out with talent, and you can make a move up there. No one's running away with those 6th, 7th, and 8th spots, per se. Even though they may be the 7th and 8th, they aren't. The 6th is more Indiana-based. But when you have an opportunity to build with some young pieces, and, you know, it's going to take a little luck. The situation in Memphis right now is one that, you know, we did not think that our team would be where we're at right now. But they got incredibly lucky in the draft, and then they hit a home run with their pick. If the Cavs can do that, I think you guys have seen in the past, getting lucky certainly doesn't hurt. It happened a couple of times. The guy that we're going to face tonight was one of those pieces. So, you know, it's a little bit of luck and belief in what you're doing. So, you know, I think the good thing about JB is he relates to the players. And if you ever talk to coaches, they'll tell you the main thing is you've got to have guys on your side. You've got to have the guys in your locker room believing in you. And I think he's got that. And I think he's been through it. So this isn't anything to him that's going to be a moment where it's going to overwhelm him, and that'll help him.
JB Bickerstaff, the new head coach of the Cavaliers, and Eric Hasseltine, the play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, covered him for years down there. The interesting thing to me about JB, Eric, is the guy's a big-time veteran NBA guy, 16 NBA seasons, yet he's only 40 years old. With head coaching experience. So if you were just hiring him cold, you'd be hiring a young NBA coach, except for the fact that he's been the head coach of two different teams and he's been in the league for over 16 years. How has that experience translated in his dealings with the players and what he's able to do strategically?
Well, he's seen it all. I mean, think of some of the benches he's been on. He's been with Kevin Garnett. He's been with James Harden. They all, you know, Mark Gasol, Zach Randolph, Mike Conley in Memphis. He's been there. Where he's sat on benches, and that, you know, that stems from obviously his father being a former NBA head coach. JB was a terrific player, just had, and he and I talked about it, just had an awful leg injury that ended his playing career. You know, he started Oregon State, went to Minnesota. He began his post-playing career as a radio analyst. So I always kidded him about being part of the dark side first, and that, you know, I was ready to jump on his staff anytime he wanted, you know, a 40-something radio guy that hadn't sat on an NBA bench. I was there for him.
Nice of
you. Shocking, he didn't take me up on that offer. I was absolutely stunned. But, you know, he worked his way in there, got the opportunities, and that's the thing. that I've always respected about coaches, that this didn't get handed to him. Just because his father was an NBA coach, he didn't get handed to him. Now, a door may have opened for him to get an opportunity, but when that door opened, he kicked it further open and furthered his career by working his tail off. And he's about that. And, you know, he's easy to deal with. I didn't realize he's as fiery as he can be on the sideline. He's got a passion for this. You know, you talk to him, and I'm sure you guys have, you talk to him, and he's a real easy guy to talk to. He's got three great kids, and we used to joke about our kids and how much they would, you know, drive us crazy at times, but how much we loved them and the opportunity to get to see them grow, and we lived in the same neighborhood. But you got him in game time, and, like, he wants to win, and that drives him, and you can see that fire in him. And so I think it's a good move. I thought when John Beilein was hired, when we heard JB was going to get that opportunity, I said, okay, that's a smart move right there by a guy who obviously doesn't know exactly day-to-day NBA life because he's lived in the college life, and it's just different. I mean, it's a different way about it. There's way more games. There's way fewer opportunities to work individually with guys or practice with guys, and there's different egos in there to massage. Having a guy, like you said, that's been on an NBA bench since he was in his early 20s as your right-hand man was a smart move. Now, I didn't know what the Cavaliers' long-term plans were, but my thought was, hey, if this Beilein thing doesn't really work out for them, which is always in play with new coaches, you got a guy sitting on your bench that you can turn to right away. And you know, unfortunately for Coach Beilein, and again, I'm not trying to knock the man. I think he's a terrific basketball mind, Hall of Fame college coach, to say the least. But he had a guy right there waiting in the wings that could seamlessly take over and possibly be your guy for the next, you know, 5 to 8 to 10 years, depending on how the roster can shape up.
Eric, all things considered, then at the age of 40 and the fact that he had such experience with several franchises, you surprised it took him this long to get what looks to be the opportunity he's waited for?
No, I'm not surprised. Just because I think, you know, he was in situations where it didn't quite click. I honestly believe, guys, that management been still in place in Memphis, had they decided to let Chris Wallace, John Hollinger, and some of the other front office guys that were there ride this roster out and go, you know, into the future, because they both of those two gentlemen who've been reassigned within the organization, take that for whatever you want, had two more years left on contracts. And I think they were committed to letting JB go forward with them. They really liked him. Like I said, though, when you bring in new front office people and they have a different vision, it's imperative to let them decide who they want as their head coach. And I don't think it was any slight at JB. And I honestly, from everything I heard, I didn't really want to ask him directly, but I had people that I'm close with, that he's very close with, that I could ask and say, was he upset? And obviously, you're never happy getting fired. No one's ever been fired from a job, for the most part, and said, boy, that was a great day. You know, I fortunately, it's only happened to me once, and it was a job that I walked out of, and I went, wow, that sucked. I don't want to do that again. And, you know, I think he just understood that that's the way it was. Having a guaranteed contract doesn't hurt that either, because, you know, you're not going out and, you know, going to have a hard time finding your next paycheck. But he's also you know, understands the business. So I'm not surprised, because the Houston thing was one where, you know, he took that team and they were in absolute disarray. If we go back to that situation, James Harden was angry. He wasn't the MVP the year before, came in a little out of shape. If you remember, that was the year, I think, in the first two games, he started 1 for 20 from three. He and Kevin McHale were at odds. Kevin McHale was relieved of his duties. And here you have a locker room that's seemingly in a lot of turmoil, and J.B. Bickerstaff came in and took them and, granted, had a talented roster, but led them to the playoffs when a lot of people were thinking, oh, man, they're going to have to break this up because it's not working. And he held it on to them, and they wanted to play faster, and that's Daryl Morey's style. And I don't know that J.B.'s, you know, as I like to call him, a hair-on-fire style basketball, getting it up and down the floor, breakneck speed. Maybe he'll put some of that in there with the young talent he has, but that was what Daryl Morey wanted, and I don't think that fit J.B. Bickerstaff, and I think they realized that. I don't think they parted you know, in bad terms, or on bad terms, I should say. But I think it was just they felt like Mike D'Antoni was the guy that they were looking at for a long time and finally had an opportunity to get him.
Yeah, certainly fits the style that Daryl Morey certainly goes after. Yeah. Hey, Eric, we can't thank you enough for your time and for giving us some knowledge on J.B. Bickerstaff that we certainly didn't have here. Thank you very much, bud.
No, thank you guys for having me. Wishing him nothing but the best. And honestly, and I know you guys got to run up against it, maybe not a better place to go. I know it's a tough two-game road trip. But Washington, I don't think defense is really part of their strategy.
Defense?
So maybe this is a great way for him to kind of get his feet wet and let the young players get up and down the floor and really kind of figure out what his hand is. So it's going to be fun to watch that tonight a little bit.
Yeah, we're anxious to see it. Eric, thank you
very much.
Thanks, guys.
Eric Hasseltine, the play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies on Grizzlies Radio, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.